You are now listening to the Online Course Podcast, the place where online course creators come to learn how to sell more of their online courses. Here's your host, Jono Petrohilos.
Okay, hello everybody. Welcome to the Course Creator Community Podcast. I'm super excited this week because we're going to be speaking about one of my favorite topics in the world, and that's gamification. Now, I don't know what you're like listening to this, but me, I like to have fun. And to be honest, I don't think I've ever met anyone that doesn't like having fun. So if we can get gamification in our course, it's going to be a benefit for everyone involved. So I've got a guest on to speak about that. A little bit about this person. She's obviously gamification obsessed herself. She's an entrepreneur for life. And also, she's going to be a future 80s cover band lead singer, which is quite interesting. She's the creator of Engaging Gamification for Profitable Courses and Memberships. So without further ado, let me introduce the one and only Ms. Tamalia Lorenzen. Tamalia, how are you?
Thank you so much for such a great introduction. I love that you spied on my Facebook profile to get that information. It's so true. I'm doing excellent. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
No, thank you for being on. Tamalia, I like to start all my podcasts off with a quote or mantra that inspires you or fires you up. Have you got one you could use for us?
Yes, I actually have stolen this one from my husband's world. So the mantra is anything is possible. And that really comes to mind because he does these ultra triathlons. So they're called Ironmans. And it's like a 2.2-mile swim, 120-mile bike ride, followed by a marathon. And he's not someone that maybe 10 years ago you would have said, oh, I see you doing an Ironman triathlon. Ironman's brand is anything is possible. So much, it's such a strong culture that they have people who finish their Ironman get tattoos that say anything is possible. And so ever since I started seeing that everywhere because of my husband, it really has stuck with me because if you don't believe that, right, if you don't believe anything is possible, then you're not going to be able to achieve those things that you truly want to do in your life.
Yes, love that on so many different levels. My background is fitness myself. So okay. I would see a lot of that, you know, a lot of clients, whereas, and I'm not saying they're Iron Men, right, or ultra marathon runners, but, you know, even if they just, whatever it may be, had a physical transformation, they get that belief. Hold on, if I can lose, you know, this 20 kilos or 30 pounds or whatever it may be, what else can I do in my life? Anything's possible. So I think I love the idea and I love how you brought it to fitness as well. And I love how it's mainly a mindset thing as well, because you hit it on the head. If you go into something and you don't think you're going to be able to do it, I'm pretty sure I know the answer. You're not going to be able to do it. If you go in there with the attitude, anything is possible. Okay, maybe you do, maybe you don't. But either way, you're going to be in a way better position if you actually believe it and implement it. So I love that you brought that up. So Tamalia, I've obviously been following you for a few weeks, maybe a month, for a few months now, actually. So I know what it is you do. But if anyone's listening to this and they're like, hold on, what does this woman do? You know, you go to a barbecue and someone's a lawyer, someone's a plumber. Like, what is it you do and how do you help people? Give us the overview there.
You bet. So so I'm the creator of Engaging Gamification. And why I created that kind of terminology, Engaging Gamification, is those two words put together are very powerful. So as course creators, you guys know that if you don't get results for your students, then you don't have a successful business, right? Maybe people come in and they pay and they go through your course, but if they're not happy with their results or they didn't make it all the way through, that's not going to be something that reflects poorly on them. That's going to come back to you in some way. And I truly believe that as course creators, it is our responsibility to do as much as we can to get people through our content and also get them results. So the engagement is the first step of that. If they aren't engaging with our content, they're not going to implement anything we're teaching. And if they don't implement, they're not going to get results, right? So that's the engaging part. The gamification part is, gamification is a very powerful tool because it basically takes the mechanics and the strategies of games of all kinds. So card games, board games, video games, any kind of game. It takes those strategies and those mechanics and you can apply that to anything to motivate people to do something specific. So you put those two together and it's gamification for the purpose of getting people engaged in your content. So that's what I teach. I have a membership where I deliver a new gamification strategy every month to course creators and membership creators. And yeah, that's the fun little speech I give when I'm at barbecues.
Love it. And for anyone listening to this, what I recommend, go to the show notes. If you're interested in Tamalia's membership program, I'll put the link down below. She's also got a freebie that she gives out, which is 52 ways on or 52 different gamification strategies. I recommend everyone go through that. We'll get through as much as we can today, but I don't think we're going to get through all 52 of them. No. So I'll put that link down in the show notes there. So yeah, love that, Tamalia. And I look at it from... even from a beginning course creator, it can be like they may be thinking, hold on, gamification, I just want to, you know, put my course together and sell it. What's this gamification side of things? But what Tamalia said and what I agree with 100% is that if you just put your course out and it's boring and it's not engaging, people probably won't even finish it. And I know this firsthand. I've done so many courses that I just didn't finish. And the reason I got into gamification was I did a course years ago, maybe 2013, 2014. It was okay. But then I did another course from that same gentleman like 2 or 3 years later. And it was a million times better, not because of the content. The content was dissimilar, but just the way it was presented, it was more engaging. It was funnier. There were some games. And as a result of that, it made me actually want to do the course. So I got through the course because it was engaging. Because of that, I got the results and it's a win-win-win. So I love that you've mentioned that. Now, Tamalia, if someone's watching this, they're like, oh man, gamification. I've never played video games or anything before. Where do I start? You know, do I need to get a degree in computers? Do I need to get fancy software? Do you have maybe some overarching principles that could help anyone?
Yeah. And before I get into those, so I do have the five principles of engaging gamification, but you brought up a good point. And that is that I think people, when they hear the word gamification, they think two things. They think, oh, that's very techy and it is only about apps and software. And then the other thing they think is, well, my audience or even myself, I'm not a gamer or I don't like games, which that's not usually true. Usually people just don't like losing games. That's why they don't like games.
And even just at a fun point, like who doesn't like having fun?
Exactly. Exactly. So it you don't have to be, you and your audience doesn't have to be of a certain profile. So you don't have to be gamers, so to speak, right? For this to work, because it's more about behavioral science than it is about a specific video game. So even if you didn't consider yourself a gamer, the most, I'm trying to remember the exact statistic, but it was something like the largest group of, I'm using air quotes here, gamers in the United States anyway, is women between the ages of, I believe it was 35 and 50. So, you know, that's like not probably what you would have thought of when you thought of a gamer. So my point is that you don't have to be a gamer. And also you don't have to be tech savvy in order to incorporate gamification. Because if you think about board games, that's not technology besides it's a piece of paper and some, you know, avatars that move around. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, but let me jump into the five principles of engaging gamification, because that'll really help people understand that it's not just about throwing a game on top of what you're doing, but it's about using the principles, the strategies of games, and how we, the strategies that games use to get us to keep playing, right? That we're going to use in our courses to get people to keep engaging in the content. So the first one is make progress visible. So the first thing that comes to mind, and it's not a bad example at all, but like a leaderboard or a progress bar or a countdown timer. Those are very visible and visual elements that help people to kind of see where they are in a video, a training video, or in the progress of a form that they're filling out, right? Even if you were to go set up your account at LinkedIn, you would notice there's a progress bar at the top. So that's the idea, but you can show that, of course, in many ways. One way you could show that, even on like a PDF handout, is let's say it's 5 pages. So at the bottom of page 1, you have a little circle that's says 1/5, mm-hmm. and maybe the circle, like a progress circle, is just 1/5 of the way filled in, right? Mm-hmm. And then on the second page, you do that for 2/5, and it's 2/5 of the way filled in. Those little visual cues help people to be pulled through the content. So make progress visible is that first one. Yes. The second one is, yeah. The second one is about micro learning. So when, to relate it to games, if you were to play like, okay, so my my favorite video game of all times is Super Mario Brothers 3 on the original Nintendo. Okay. And when you start that game, or even the original Super Mario's, Super Mario, they don't throw you into, you know, a battle with the boss right away. You're not trying to save the princess in the first screen. What they do is they break that down into little pieces to train you on the skills that you need in order to get to that boss battle, and you might actually be able to win. So in that first piece of the game, you learn how to jump and move back and forth, and that's pretty much all you can do, right? And then as you go to different screens and different levels, you learn more of the skills. Well, that's micro learning. So how we can adapt that as course creators is making sure that your content doesn't cover too many topics at once, or your module isn't 50 lessons long, because that can be overwhelming to people, right? So micro learning, delivering pieces of content in small enough pieces that they're consumable. The other reason that that's really important right now is because everybody is so mobile, right? We're hardly ever sitting in front of a laptop or a desktop for hours at a time consuming content. We're, you know, maybe we just got off the bike, or we're on our way to the grocery store, or you're waiting to pick up your kids. If your course is in small enough chunks that they could watch a video while they're waiting to pick up their kids, then it's more likely they're going to move through the content. So micro learning. The third one is feedback loops. So it's really important that people feel like they are supported in your course. And if they can get answers to their questions and also get the feeling that they're on the right track with those answers, then they're again going to continue to move through the content. So Facebook and all social media platforms have us, like, they know our brains to a T, and they know if we post something and then we see a little red indicator that somebody might have liked that, we're going to go look, right? And that's the feedback loop. That's what keeps us coming back to the app, which of course is beneficial for any social media platform. They want us to stay on the platform. But the way we can do that is making sure that there's enough channels for people to reach out to us to get an answer. And what I recommend is 2 to 3 of those. So whether it's email and Facebook lives, and maybe comments in your platform, that people are able to get immediate feedback from you on the content that they're going through. And then the next one, 4, is simplify, simplify, simplify. There's a reason I say that 3 times. Repetition is so important, but a lot of times we as course creators, we have so much information up in our heads, right? And we want to just give that to, we want to just give and give and serve the people that are our students. But we have to realize that they may not need all of that information, and it may not benefit them to have all of that information at once. So simplifying your content, again, down to one topic, one outcome, but also in the visual representation of our course. If you go into a course and you open it up and you see that it's 52 modules and 20 lessons in each module, you're going to immediately be overwhelmed. So maybe we don't need all of that information in one course, because we don't want people to be overwhelmed by complexity. And then the final one is, of course, my favorite one. Jono, I think it's going to be your favorite one as well. And that's fun and celebrations. that's throwing more of the games and the celebrations and themes and things like that into your course, so that it is fun to consume. And fun can really apply to many topics. It just depends on how you apply it, right? But that's where we're talking about, like, maybe you do a virtual scavenger hunt, or you have a theme week. And I don't think Australia, you have this, but in the United States, we have something called homecoming. And so in the fall, you know, there's a big football game, and there's a pep rally and all of that, spirit week. And so applying a theme like that to your course, or maybe to one module of your course, can be fun as well. So those are the five principles of engaging gamification.
Love it. That's so good on so many different levels. I'll give a quick summary there, but I'll say again, if you're listening on the podcast, go and download the freebie because that's all written down. But yeah, you look at those five things and it puts together the perfect course. So like if I'm going through a course, I want to see my progress visible. I hate, you know, sometimes you watch videos and you don't know, there's no bar there and you don't know how long it's going to go for and how long you're going to sit there. That's my worst nightmare. But if I know I'm chugging away, even if there is 52 things, if I know, oh, sweet, I've got through five of them. Okay, it'll take me this long to get through it. It's just way more engaging. The micro progressions. Yeah, I look at that like I love how you use Super Mario with that as well, because now I can see it in a course as well, where it's like here's module one is like level one in a computer game, you know, and then maybe your action task at the end of that module is fighting the boss at the end of it. And it's just like you look at a course like that, it's like, okay, I've passed. Instead of it being, you know, some people are may not like education. They might not have liked school growing up. They might have liked games. But if you put it like that, you're almost making the school, which they didn't like, a game, which they do like, which will make them more likely to do it, which I love that. Feedback loop. So that's a big one for me as well. Like, I just like to talk and interact, right? As you can probably tell. So if I don't get any feedback, I just lose all interest. It's like, is anyone even knowing what I'm doing here? Like, does it even matter that if there's something, even if it's just a like, you know, I post something on a Facebook group and someone likes it. Oh, great. There's some, at least this person knows I'm here. There's something there. So I love that. Simplify. Yes, I love that because I'm not the brightest cookie in the box. So someone can simplify things for me. And I'm also a huge Tony Robbins fan. And I've realized that's one of the reasons why he's so successful. He just takes these super complex things and just makes it so that any idiot off the street could understand it. And because of that, he's got millions of, I've just joined his Facebook group. He started it last week and he's got 400,000 people in there. So because he's, you know, he's been doing this a long time, but simplifying is what he does. And yeah, fun and celebrations. Like who doesn't like fun? I think that's the best way I can put it in any scenario in life, pretty much. I think if you had a choice, okay, I can make this be more fun or I can make it be more boring. I do not know one person that would pick the more boring option. So why don't we make them fun there?
That means you only know fun people.
Yeah, exactly. So what I would like to do, Tamalia, if you're open to this, and I think it could be a bit of fun, I've got your 52 ways open here. I was thinking maybe I could just throw some at you randomly and we just spend a few minutes going there. But you just mentioned two really good ones there. I'm not even sure if they're in your 52, but I wouldn't mind having a chat about these two here. The first one you mentioned is a scavenger hunt, a virtual scavenger hunt. I'm at least curious. What is a virtual scavenger hunt and how do we do it?
Okay, so this is something I do inside Facebook groups because Facebook groups have a couple of settings that you may be aware of that allow you to see what people have completed. So you might even be able to host, well, you could host an entire course on Facebook using the setting of social learning groups, right? So for those of you that may not know, the social learning groups allow you to set up units and lessons. So it's a perfect way of delivering. Well, so the virtual scavenger hunt is basically posting one unit that's the scavenger hunt. And then inside that unit, several posts, say somewhere between 7 and 12, asking your Facebook members to quote unquote find something, right? So that's the scavenger hunt part of it. And it could be anything. So for example, I recently did a 12 Days of Christmas scavenger hunt, and I used the theme of the 12 Days of Christmas song to ask them to share something about their holiday experience. So for example, the first clue I think was something like, there may be a bird in a fruit tree, but what's your favorite holiday? I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was something very clever, I promise. Anyway, it was asking them something about, you know, share something about their holiday. Anyway, so they share that, they can share a picture, they can share a comment, and then they click done on that lesson. I forgot to mention I have three Pomeranians in the house as well, in case you hear those. But so then what you can do is you can go to your insights on your Facebook group, after that whole scavenger hunt is done. And for anybody that clicked done on those lessons, you can download who completed the lessons. And then that way you can pick your winners. So you can decide if you're going to pick a winner out of everybody who completed every scavenger hunt item, or if you're going to celebrate everyone who participated at all. And it's a like an Excel spreadsheet that you can sort. So that's a virtual scavenger hunt in, you know, 30 seconds.
Yes. No, love it. The other thing you mentioned was homecoming. We don't have that in Australia. So maybe even give just a minute overview of what homecoming is in general, and then how I sort of roughly know what it is, but a lot of the listeners may not. So if you want to give us an overview of what homecoming is, and then how do we implement that in our Facebook groups or in our course, our membership, to our summits.
Let's take a quick break.
If you want tips and strategies on how to start, grow, and monetize your business online, check out the Digital Revolution podcast with Eli Adams. We interview digital experts from around the world that share their personal stories. They talk about what they're currently working on and where they see the future going. But most importantly, they share tactics in their specific area of expertise with the hope of helping you improve your digital presence online. You can listen to the Digital Revolution podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, or simply click on the link in the show notes below.
You bet. So homecoming in the United States is high school football, and college has it as well. But it's the like a rival football game. It's in the fall, and there are a lot of activities associated with it. So it's like the big game. And around that is a pep rally. So that's the cheerleaders and the dancers perform, and they kind of parade out all the football players. They pick a homecoming king and queen, you know, so it's a lot of
movies.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Watch an American movie about high school and you'll see homecoming. And there's a dance. And the thing that made me create an event, a gamification event around homecoming, is because it's a week of activities. And one of the things within that week is Spirit Week. And so every day you might get a prompt to dress, you know, so today in school, this I'm still talking about being in high school, you would dress, you know, like wear pajamas day. And then the next day would be like crazy hair day, that kind of thing.
And that's called Spirit Week?
Yes. And so it's a different theme. So what I did is I used it for as part of my onboarding process for my membership. So when I brought on new members, I had a homecoming themed week and we did a Spirit Week, but it was posts in the Facebook group like, in high school, were you the nerd or the jock or, you know, what were you? Yeah. And just what that did is that got people to share about themselves. Also, the nostalgia really helps with an emotional connection. So they got to know each other. And I got to know them too.
Yes. Okay. And let me just get my head around that. So so let's say, for example, now I'm thinking an open membership, right? Where people can join at any time. Is it like when I join my first seven action tasks? Hey, day one, post this in the group, day two, post this, day three, post this. Or is it like you just pick whatever, the first week of every month, for example, and you're like, why? You do it that way there. Okay.
Yeah. And the reason I would do it that way is I would still have my onboarding activities, that, you know, like your typical stuff, like join the Facebook group, introduce yourself, all that fun stuff. But every once in a while, depending on how often you have new members join, I would do like that homecoming week because it's powerful to do it in groups of people all at the same time, as opposed to somebody feeling like they're coming in by themselves and kind of like going through those activities alone.
Yes. No, love that. Awesome. All right, cool. Let me get out your 52 ways and let me pick some random ones. Okay. And also, so we've also got some people listening in live as well. And I've got the link in the chat. If anyone watching live has one of those 52 things that you specifically want Tamalia to run through, let me know now. Type it in the chat and we'll go through that one specifically. But I'm going
to. It's like a quiz. I love it.
Yeah. We're gamifying this podcast, right?
Yes, exactly.
All right. Well, I'm just going to start easy and I'm just going to start at number one, which is points for swag. So I'll read it out. So it says points for swag. Provide points for each month of membership. Members can use points to buy swag from your online store. Members love branded gear like t-shirts, mugs, and notebooks. Let us know about the points for swags. What's the best way, or a couple different ways we can do that, Malia?
So if you were to do a Google search for like something along those lines, you would find apps and plugins that would allow you to track that. But again, the things that I teach, I like to make sure everybody knows that those can be done without additional software, additional costs as far as administrating it. So what you would do is basically just keep a record of how many months someone has been a member, and you assign a certain number of points to that. I'll say like 10 points every month. And then when they get to 100 points, they get to pick out a prize. And so maybe it's like a t-shirt or a sweatshirt or something like that. And that encourages people. So we're talking about a membership here to stay, right? It gives them something to kind of look forward to. Somebody who, or a company that does that really well is along the same lines as Kajabi. So if you use Kajabi as your platform for your course or your membership, they have like different levels. I think it's a 1K level. So once you make $1,000 through Kajabi, you get, so this isn't their lanyard. This is actually my lanyard. But you would get a lanyard, and then 1K they give you a pin, for 10K they give you a pin, etc.
And you're there's a Kajabi hero, right? I saw someone post that. Yes. I'm now a Kajabi hero. I'm like, what the hell is that? I want to be that, you know?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so I used to work for Starbucks, and we all had lanyards, and we have like our ID card on it, and of course all the Sharpie markers that we'd mark the cups with, but we also were able to collect pins for doing, you know, outstanding things and being nominated for different awards. So that's kind of where the idea comes from.
Love that. And even for some other listeners that are into ClickFunnels, they do their 2 Comma Club as well, which is, and you see it's like a badge of honor, you know, like if you're close to hitting that, you need to get that 2 Comma Club so you can take the photo with Russell Brunson and do all that. You're not leaving from ClickFunnels to Kajabi if you're close to that. Because you want that thing there. And I'll even tell a little story. I heard this in Australia, actually. There's a popular Australian football team. And, you know, you can become a member of the football team and you get, you know, season tickets and all that sort of stuff and some bonuses as well. And one of the things you get is you get like, I think it was it's a jersey, right? You know what a jersey is, right? You use that word in America? Yeah, jersey. And your number on the jersey is the number where you signed up. So if you've been there the longest, if you've been a member the longest, you're number one. If you've been there the second longest, you're number two, right? And this is a passionate football team, right? They would pay anything to get number one on their jersey, but you can't pay to get in there. The only way is if you have been the longest serving member there, and it's also continuous. So if you're number one and you don't renew your membership for 1 year, guess what? When you come back, you're number 5,251. And there's a status behind it. You know, like if you're passionate about something, especially if you get to like number one, if you're the best at something, even if it's just paying someone money for the longest, it's still like, hey, I've been here the longest. I'm the most experienced. And there's also the progression as well. So I love how you've done that. Now, we've got a few questions here from Julia.
Yeah.
So, all right. Any of your strategies, Tamalia, is there a particular one that is best for growing a Facebook group?
The virtual scavenger hunt, I really like that one for growing a Facebook group. And here's why, because it boosts your engagement in your group. And then that's that, of course, none of us know for sure what that algorithm is, right? Yeah. But if people within your group start to see your posts more often because there's more comments on the ones in your virtual scavenger hunt, you're going to get that message out, right? And so it may not be about growing the size of your group, but it's about growing the interaction of the people you already have in your group to see the message that you want them to see, such as my course is now available, right? So if you're looking to get more eyeballs on what you've got inside your Facebook group, that's the one I would really focus on.
Yes. And I'll piggyback off that as well. So when I used to be in the fitness game, a challenge I would use in my free Facebook group was the 7-day no sugar challenge, which is a similar idea to the scavenger hunt, where basically it's like, hey, track how much grams of sugar you have each day and then comment it below in this thing here. And yeah. it was just off the one thread, actually. So it was one thread, and you would write Monday, you would write your name, and then you'd reply to your name, Monday 10 grams, Tuesday 20 grams, yada, yada, yada. So because of that, it was just this crazy engaged thread that was always coming up the front, and people are always commenting and always liking and every day. And because, and I would always see growth in the Facebook group, and then growth in the Facebook group because people would see it, but then also growth in like my other posts. Because this is the way I look at engagement in general. Like, if you make a post in your Facebook group and you get 100 likes, it doesn't really mean anything unless your next post is a sale, because those 100 people that like that are going to be more likely to see the next one there. So that's why I like that strategy there. Well,
I'm glad you brought up the challenge too, because that's gamification in itself. And that actually is a really great idea for growing a Facebook group, is right. You bring people into a Facebook group to participate in that challenge. And then you can use some of these ideas to gamify that challenge as well. So I'm glad you brought that up.
And it's almost, even with that scavenger hunt, it could be a good way to get people. And instead of just saying, hey, join my group, someone's like, hey, Julia, I'm in a million groups of the same thing, I'm not joining it. You can be like, hey, join my group. I'm doing a scavenger hunt this week where here are all these prizes and cool things. Do you want to do it? Oh, by the way, to do it, you got to join my group. So it's almost like a lead magnet without just bugging someone to join your group, you know?
Yeah.
So that
excellent.
There's a couple other questions here, Tamalia. Do you have an example of a course map, or could you explain that one? What's a course map?
So this is what I would do. I would picture any childhood board game that you played, like Chutes and Ladders. I think maybe it's called Snakes and Ladders.
Yeah. Is it called Chutes and Ladders in America?
Well, okay, that's a question that's up for debate, because I had that question with other people from America. And I think it depends on what area of the country you live in.
I've never heard the air. We say Snakes and Ladders. It's a big snake on the board.
Well, maybe I played some off-brand version that was Chutes and Ladders. Or Candyland, right? And that's basically what it is. Or I like to use the Super Mario Brothers 3 because each world had a map, and you would go to the different little houses that map.
Monopoly. I think everyone will know Monopoly, and that's what I'm picturing there.
Perfect. Yeah. And you basically just visually plot out the different modules and lessons within your course.
And then would you show it like in the introduction? You could say, hey, here's the map of Monopoly or whatever, and then but the different streets are your modules. So on this side of the board, it's module one. Here it's module two. Is that how that would work?
Yes. And you can provide it like in a PDF. You can make sure you use that visual throughout. So people, you can even ask people to share a screenshot or a photo of their game board and where they're at on the game board. Or if you have a little bit of a budget, you can send them a nice, you know, a PDF shiny version of a board game to, you know, send that out to their house once they join your course, and they can literally plot it out. And it's a fun little thing to get in the mail as well.
Yeah. And the other reason I think that can be cool as well is it adds a bit of personality. Like if you are a Monopoly person, like your ideal audience are probably going to be similar to you anyway, right? They're probably going to be Monopoly people as well. And they'll look at it, oh, Monopoly, I love Monopoly. Yeah, I can engage with this, or, oh, this is just like a Monopoly game. So I think that's cool. A couple more questions, then we might get to some closing sort of questions. If anyone else watching live has a question, ask it now or you're gone. So Russ has said the team challenge, getting community involvement and support each other. Any tips on that, Tamalia?
Yeah, I saw one of my members did a really cool thing. So he is an artist and teaches drawing. And he did, my understanding is that it's typical in the artist world that they do Inktober. So it's 31 days of drawing every single day, or doing whatever your art is every single day. So he took Inktober and he made it into a team challenge. Mm. So he basically said, and this was all within his Facebook group, everybody who wants to participate, you know, put your name here in this post. And then he divided those people up and assigned them to teams and said, okay, team A, and tagged everybody, team B, and tagged everybody. And then that group was responsible for making sure that each person in that group did their drawing every single day. And then, so for each group that completed the drawing as a team, so that's great, you know, community building and encouraging each other, got so many points. And whatever team had the most points by the end of the 31 days won some type of prize. I think he was giving away an easel or something like that.
Love it. I can give some insight on the fitness space as well. So we were in lockdown in Australia, probably about a year ago now, almost, or pretty close to. And most of my students are fitness professionals. And there was the rule at the time was you couldn't train indoors, but you could go for a run outdoors on your own, right? Mm. One of my students is a boot camp instructor, and it's all about boot camps, all about camaraderie, working together. Like, no one that likes training in that environment wants to go for a walk on their own, right? But what she did is she put everyone in teams, you know? Hey, you're all in teams of, I don't know, let's say 10, for example, right? And we're going to do a relay race. So, you know, at 9 a.m., I think you could do it at any time, whatever it may be, but you were in a team. So it wasn't just, oh, I'm going to go out and go for a walk on my own. It was, and you had, I think it was as much as you could in an hour. I think you were only allowed out for an hour at that stage, right? So it was like, all right, everyone in your group, you can only go outside for 1 hour. Hey, do as many kilometers or as many miles as you can in that 1 hour. Write your score down here and let's see which team can win today. So that's another way that it can be done there. Awesome. Virtual summits, Tamalia. Can we include gamification in virtual summits at all? And if so, any tips?
Yeah, I actually have a friend who's doing, she's doing partially in person and partially virtual. And she did the idea of kind of like a fill in the blank or a bingo card for her particular group, where there were a couple different speakers, not every single one, but a couple different speakers that had like a phrase that they were going to share with the group, but you didn't know which speaker was going to share it. So that encouraged everybody to listen to everybody's presentation. And then this phrase ended up being, so she's in the Christian space. So it ended up being a Bible verse. Mm. And so anyone who was able to listen to all of the speakers ended up getting this beautiful Bible verse as their, you know, as their answer to this. I don't want to call it a scavenger hunt, because it was more like a fill in the blank worksheet, which can work just as well to make sure that people are participating, right, engaging in the content, listening, and then it's kind of a reward to help them pull them through that content as well.
Yeah, and I've seen that one work amazing face-to-face as well. There was a big property guy over here in Australia, and he used to run seminars Saturday and Sunday from 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. They're long days, right? And it was multi-speaker sort of things, you know, and he used that strategy. He's like, hey, sometime in each presenter's presentation, they're going to give out a word, right? A specific word. You need to write that word down. They may do it a minute before they start. So if you're late, you're gone, right? They may do it halfway in the middle. So if you just come in, you can't just come in and write the word and then see you later, bye. So every single speaker had that one word there. And then you went in the drawer or whatever it may be to win a prize there. And that kept me engaged. I went to every session because the prize was like, was it a decent prize? I was like, man, even if I don't learn anything, I'm just going to go to every single session to win this. Not saying that's the right attitude, but, you know, it's going to get people in the door. And then ideally, I am going to learn something. If I'm sitting through 8 till 8 Saturday and Sunday, I'm going to learn something. And then it's going to be a win for me. It's going to be a win for the presenter. It's a win all around. So I love that there. Tamalia, there's just a few questions I always like to finish up with. Now, the first one is around mentors. Now, you're obviously a mentor for plenty of course creators, membership site people out there that want to make their programs more engaging, more fun, more gamified. I'm curious to hear who your mentors have been. And if you can answer this in a few different ways, if you could give us a paid mentor, so someone that you've actually paid money to do their program or their coaching program, someone that you haven't paid money to, but you follow them on social media or you meet up with them face-to-face, whatever, and then a book that you recommend every course creator should read. What can you tell us there, Tamalia?
Okay, if I can remember that list. So it was
start with paid. Yep.
Not paid, and then a book.
Yep.
Okay. So as far as gamification, I wouldn't say I've paid anybody to learn that. There's a lot of stuff I learned So my background is in corporate training, and also I teach at the university. Okay. So I was a really bad trainer when I first started, because I was in my 20s. I don't even know why they gave me the job. I was not qualified in any way. And I ended up teaching to these rooms of blank stares. And that is awful. Mm-hmm. That is an awful place to be. And I ended up getting fired from my first training job. So that kind of like set me on a path over several years to learn how to be a better trainer. And so instructional design, gamification, presentation skills, all of these things came into play. So as far as paying someone to help me with gamification, I would say I paid in blood, sweat, and tears just in my experience. But as far as internet marketing, the person that I go to is Julie Stoyan from Digital. Yeah. She is a mentor of mine, somebody that I pay to give me feedback and advice from the internet marketing perspective so I can grow my business.
Funnel Gorgeous. Is she Funnel Gorgeous?
Yep. That's one of her companies. And she has a mastermind group called the Digital Insiders. And that I was grateful enough to join recently to really get some great feedback.
Yes. She's got a big free Facebook group as well. I'm a member of her free Facebook. I can't remember the name, Living the Laptop Lifestyle or something like that.
And I think the Marketer's Heart is another one of her groups. And that really strikes the chord, because it's kind of like, how do you do internet marketing in a way that you can feel good about it and you feel good about what you're giving and selling to your clients? Let's see, free. That's a tough, well, it's going to be the same as my book. So this Gabe, you're not going to be able to see it, but Gabe Zekerman, he is a gamification wizard, I'm going to call him.
Let me Amazon this guy right now. What's his name?
Gabe Zekerman.
Okay.
So it's Zekerman. And I've watched every YouTube video. I've read every book that he has. He really helped me to understand what it was I was seeing in the training world and putting like a structure around it, putting the structure of gamification around it. So that is somebody that I would consume. If you're fascinated with gamification, I would consume everything he has.
I'm on his Amazon now, Timalia. If you could pick one of it, because it looks like he's got about two or three books based on a similar thing.
To answer your final question, The Gamification Revolution is the book that I would recommend. It really goes into the strategy of gamification, why it works. It gives some great examples in gamification of marketing, gamification of training, gamification of employee performance. It's a great book.
Awesome. Got it on my wish list there. Awesome. All right. So if someone's listening to this, Tamalia, and they're like, all right, this woman is cool. I want to follow her. I want to join her program. What do we do? Is the lead magnet the best start? Do we just jump in and join your membership program? Do we connect with you on social? What's the best thing?
Yeah. So you can do two different things. The membership's not open at this point. It opens up every 2 or 3 months, but you can certainly grab that freebie, the engaginggamification.com. /52 will get you there. And you can also join my free Facebook group. If you just go to Facebook and search Engaging Gamification, you'll find it.
Awesome. I don't think I'm in that group, but I'm going to join it right now. Engaging Gamification, the community. Is that you?
Yes, that's it.
Awesome. Okay. Requested. Awesome. Well, hey, Tamalia, that's pretty much all I wanted to ask you today. Is there anything that I should have asked you but forgot to, or is there anything you want to finish us off with?
I think you should have asked to meet my three Pomeranians. No, I'm just kidding. No, I had a great time. Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with your friends. And don't forget to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Check out the show notes for more free resources on how to sell more of your online courses.